Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is episode 228 of Paranormal Stories. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about the reincarnation case of William George Jr. Among the Tlingit people of southeastern Alaska, reincarnation has long been understood as part of family continuity. The dead may return within the same kin group, sometimes recognized through birthmarks, dreams, behavior, names, or an attachment to objects from a former life. One of the best-known Tlingit cases recorded by the psychiatrist Ian Stevenson concerns William George Sr., a fisherman who was said to have returned as his own grandson, William George Jr. The case is striking because it contains several elements often found in reincarnation research: a prediction before death, physical marks on the child, an announcing dream, behavioural similarities, and a strong link to a personal possession. William George Sr. lived in Alaska and worked as a fisherman. He was described as a practical man, not someone given to dramatic spiritual claims. Near the end of his life, however, he made a remark that later became central to the case. Speaking to his son Reginald and Reginald's wife, he said that if there was anything to reincarnation, he would come back as their son. He also gave a sign by which he expected to be recognised. He pointed out noticeable marks on his body, usually described as moles, on his left shoulder and left forearm. He said that if he returned, the child would have similar marks in the same places. This detail matters because the statement was said to have been made before the child was conceived or born. There was another sign, more personal than physical. William George Sr. owned a gold watch that had come from his mother. Before his death, he gave it to Reginald and asked him to keep it for him. He reportedly said that he would come back and that the watch should be saved. In the later account, the watch becomes one of the strongest links between the two lives. A few weeks after making these statements, William George Sr. disappeared from his Seine fishing boat. His death was connected with the sea, the workplace that had shaped much of his life. Soon afterwards, Reginald's wife became pregnant. The child who was born was a boy, and he was named William George Jr. During labour, the mother reportedly had a vivid dream or vision of William George Sr. She had been under anaesthetic and, when she regained awareness, she expected for a moment to see her father-in-law. Instead, she found that she had given birth. In many indigenous North American reincarnation accounts, such dreams are known as announcing dreams, where a deceased person appears before or around the birth of a child. The family took this as another possible sign that William George Sr. had returned. The baby's physical marks were the first clear feature to draw attention. William George Jr. had moles on his left shoulder and left forearm. These were said to match the marks William George Sr. had shown before his death. Stevenson was especially interested in such details because of much of his wider research concerned birthmarks and birth defects in children linked to deceased people. In this case, the marks were not dramatic injuries or unusual deformities, but their location was important because of the earlier prediction. As William George Jr. grew older, relatives noticed further similarities. He was said to share some of his grandfather's likes and dislikes. He also developed a way of walking that reminded them of William George Sr., who had limped after an injury. Such similarities are difficult to judge from outside the family. Children are often compared to older relatives. An ordinary family resemblance can be given extra meaning. In this case, however, the behaviour was viewed alongside the prediction, the birthmarks, and the dream. The boy's relationship with water and boats also attracted attention. William George Sr. had been a fisherman, familiar with boats, nets, and the practical work of fishing. William George Jr. was said to show an early understanding of boats and of how seine nets worked. At the same time, he was reportedly more afraid of water than other boys his age. For those who accepted the reincarnation interpretation, this seemed to suggest both memory and fear from the previous life, knowledge of fishing, but also anxiety connected to the manner of death. His use of family terms was another notable feature. At times, William George Jr. reportedly addressed relatives as though he were William George Sr. He referred to his great aunt as sister and treated some older relatives as though they were his own children. In a Tlingit setting, where family roles and names carry deep importance, this behaviour was meaningful. It suggested not only resemblance, but a possible shift in identity. The most memorable incident involved the gold watch. One day, when William George Jr. was still young, his mother was going through items in her jewellery box. The boy saw the watch that had belonged to William George Sr. and immediately claimed it as his own. He picked it up and did not want to put it away. Later, he continued to ask for his watch. Because William George Sr. had specifically asked for the watch to be kept for him, the family regarded the child's reaction as a powerful sign. The strength of the case lies in the combination of details. A man says he may return as his son's child. He names the future parents. He points to marks on his own body and says the child will have similar marks. He leaves behind a watch and asks that it be saved. After his death, a boy is born into that family with marks in the reported places. The mother has a dream of the deceased man around the time of birth. The child later shows similarities in behaviour, appears to recognise family members from the older man's point of view, and claims the watch. From a neutral viewpoint, the case can be read in more than one way. Those open to reincarnation may see it as a carefully signalled return, with the prediction, the birthmarks, and the watch forming a pattern that is hard to explain by chance alone. The fact that William George Sr. reportedly made his statements before the child's birth gives the case much of its interest. It also fits a broader Tlingit tradition in which return within the family is expected and looked for. A cautious reading would place more emphasis on family memory and cultural context. William George Jr. grew up among people who knew William George Sr. and who already had reason to expect his return. He may have heard stories or observed family attitudes. Birthmarks and moles are common, and judging whether they match depends largely on witness testimony. Similarities in gait, personality, or interests can also be interpreted in different ways, especially within close families. Yet even with those cautions, the case remains a powerful story. William George Sr.'s death did not simply close a chapter in the family. Through the child, his name, his marks, his watch, and aspects of his character appeared to continue. Whether seen as evidence of reincarnation, a culturally shaped family narrative, or something more ambiguous, the case raises enduring questions about identity, memory, and the bonds between generations. For the George family, William George Jr. was not merely a grandson bearing a familiar name. He became the centre of a deeper possibility, that a life, once ended, may in some form return to those who loved it. Today I was talking about the reincarnation case of William George Jr. And if you want to support the podcast, it would be great if you signed up on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife. And just so you know, if you sign up to be a patron, you get a 25% discount when you book a past life regression with me. And I'm offering a free consultation call, which can be booked on my website, which is simonbound.com. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.